Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And live from the set of The Walking Dead, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Man, I am the lone survivor over here, man. It's been rough.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. When you told me what was going on in your house, my first thought was not, I need to stay away from there. It was, I need to go in and get him out. Like, I just need to get on a plane and go get him out.
Yeah.
And make that happen, because that ain't a good place to be.
Yeah. So, background, the sexy sidekick and the little girl have both been sick the past couple of days. The little girl has actually been sick for the better part of 2 weeks now, started with, respiratory, snotty nose, coughing, that kind of stuff. And then that went away and turned into stomach bug stuff, which is way less fun. and that's been the case for about 5 days now. And I think she's about to get over it. But it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. it's been a long week. We were supposed to be hanging out in the same room right now. Obviously we're not. We're still planning on doing that in a couple of days, which will be good, God willing, and little girl's not doing nasty stuff all over the place still for the next several hours that let us get our travel plans underway. But it's been a little nuts around here.
Well, I feel for you, sir, because if you've ever had kids, I don't have kids, but I have 2 nieces. That lived in my house for the better part of the first years of their lives. You remember
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And so I know all about these things, and it ain't fun, folks.
It is not fun.
And to people like Spider Weiss, who's in Vegas right now with his lovely wife, because they don't have kids, I say to you, consider yourself walking.
God bless you. Absolutely. I got about 3 hours of sleep last night. I've been averaging about four and a half for a while now. If the kid's sick, then either everybody's sick or everybody's dealing with the sick. And so I've been fortunate so far. It hasn't hit me.
It's gonna hit you Friday. And let's just be honest. You and I have been friends a long time, and you and I have done this show in every single state conceivable.
This is true.
So whatever happens to you by Friday, we're gonna do the show.
Yeah,
because that's happened before. Not necessarily that, but hey, there's a first time for everything.
Absolutely. We're gonna make it happen. In part because it'll be show number 400. Which is nuts. It just so happens to work out fortuitously or not at this point, but so happens to work out that it'll be while we're in the same room together. And so looking forward to that. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we'll have some other content coming online from that as well. But it should be a really, really good time. Again, God willing, I don't get the sickness and feel it okay on Friday.
It's going to be fun regardless.
It is. Because last time you were in my house, you got super sick. We still had a good time. We just didn't do much content.
I had no voice.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, regardless of what happens to you, as long as you don't lose your voice, we're good.
Just keep a bucket nearby and off we go.
Yeah, we can do that. We've got that covered. So
all that said, we do have gaming stuff to talk about on the show this week, because it's been a while. So we're going to play a little catch up. So of course we're going to talk Half-Life. We'll get into that here in a bit. We've got Google Stadia is now a thing officially. We'll talk about that too. The Game Awards have nominees, and so we'll talk about the nominees. I think it's a really interesting year at the Game Awards. I'm actually really excited about that topic because the games kind of fascinate me this year, and so I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that as well. A couple other game announcement stuff. We'll see how much we get to, but that's the plan for the show. We'll see what happens.
Now, if a little girl comes in at any point, the plan could change.
Absolutely.
We're going back to the days of, can we do the show before she wakes up?
Yes.
We're at that point. So just be prepared for that,
yes,
folks.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's heartbreaking because she really hasn't felt that bad. Like, she's been happy and wanting to play and all that stuff. We just can't. Like, we can't go anywhere, you know, because she's, like, puking all over the place or whatever. So, it's, she's ready to do something. But we'll get there. So, anyway, we should probably talk about games at some point.
Let's do it. Let's jump right in.
So, before we get into to news stuff, I want to live vicariously a little bit, possibly. I don't even know the answer to this question. Have you been playing any games? And by any games, I mean, have you been playing The Outer Worlds? Because I haven't. I would love to hear some more about it.
Okay, so I played a little bit yesterday for the first time in a week. I've been swamped this week. But I played a little bit yesterday. And I am now officially on Monarch. And I'm not sure that Monarch is not my favorite world thus far.
Nice.
It is really cool. I enjoy it a lot. It again, Monarch has that very Firefly type feel to it.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. I like it. It's a lot of fun. There are some things, I found some things that I'm not a huge fan of, one of which being, I may have talked about this on the last show, I don't remember because it's been so long, but one of the things I'm really having trouble with is once you create your character and you set up your core attributes, you don't ever get to touch those again, right?
Right.
So if you only put 2 points in perception and you come up on a speech check or something else that is labeled perception, you just can't do that because you don't have it.
Yeah.
And Fallout, especially, you always have the ability to adjust those special attributes as you go. So that's one major problem I've had with it. It has some other issues as far as combat balance, because anybody that has watched the stuff that I put up, and I honestly don't think anybody has.
Don't watch Jamie's stuff, guys.
Yeah, because I really worked hard on that, and nobody has really watched it. But I died a lot, because the enemies are getting tougher, and I haven't been able to put enough points into combat skills to really do okay.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on the last show. I don't remember if I said here that I took the Fear of Robots perk.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. If I ever play The Outer Worlds again, which I probably will, I will not take that vault. That was a massive mistake. I honestly think that is the only fault in the game that really has an adverse effect on what you do. I think everything else you can kind of get around. But when I took it, I wasn't thinking about the fact that there are robots everywhere.
Yeah.
If you go into Groundbreaker, if you go into the concourse on Groundbreaker, there's robots. And your stats are affected. That was a massive mistake. And of course, after I took it, I looked online and everybody said, yeah, that's a massive mistake. I think it's the only one that's a really big mistake as far as the fault system goes, but it is. So if you're playing for the first time, please, for the love of all that's holy, do not take the Fear of Robots fault, because it will hurt you.
Yep.
And the interesting thing about that, real quick, just to wrap this up, is that you can readjust everything else about your character except the core attributes and the faults. Once you do those, they're burned in.
Yeah.
And they make a big deal about how you can readjust your point distribution. And I've tried to come up with a need to do that, but I don't have it. What I need to readjust is those faults.
Yeah.
And my core attributes. And those you cannot touch unless you restart. So, just a couple of small problems I have with it. It's still great. It's awesome. And you and I have been on a text thread with Duff, and I told him about another game that we have both found, which I'm looking forward to playing after The Outer Worlds, called Disco Elysium, that apparently it makes The Outer Worlds look really bad. like there are multiple sources saying, whatever you do, don't play Disco Elysium before you play another RPG, because it's the best one out there, period. And a couple of those guys actually said, I played Disco Elysium, and then I played The Outer Worlds, and it's driving me insane. That's another thing. If you are planning on playing The Outer Worlds, play The Outer Worlds first. Because apparently Disco Elysium's really good. And The Outer Worlds, a lot of people are saying it's the same old stuff, which I don't necessarily believe. And that Disco Elysium is the future. But that's out there. And we're not talking about from a single source or somebody that's not credible. So there's that.
Yeah. That's what I'm excited to see if it comes on sale, either this week or during Christmas, New Year sale on Steam, because it's definitely what I want to pick up. I'm fine holding off to play it a little bit, but I'm excited to play it eventually.
Well, the interesting thing, I don't know if you saw it, but Cabbage said that he actually bought it and refunded it because he didn't like
it.
Yeah. But part of what is kind of luring me towards, it's like a siren on a rock, and I'm like a ship. And I'm like, I don't need to go play. The part of what's luring me toward it is that it sort of, to me, it looks like a deja vu kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up with a hangover, you don't know who you are, you don't know what happened. It's that same deal. And it's very noir, and it's very, and we talked about on this show, deja vu is one of my all-time favorite things. Yeah. It's one of my all-time favorite series out there. And so I'm like, every day I'm looking at the button going, should I quit this? And that little voice in my brain says, you're playing Outer Worlds, stupid. So there's that. I'm interested to see about that. Avery, one more thing on the gaming. Avery is in my house and we have not played games yet. But I walk into my living room, and this tells you where kids are these days. I walk into my living room, and Avery is playing Stardew Valley on a Switch.
Nice.
She has it in her hands, right? So I'm assuming that she's playing it because she's on the couch and she just wants to be comfortable. No, then she tells me that she did not pack the dock because she didn't want to keep up with it. And me as an old man is like, what are you, nuts? are you crazy? Because, like, that would be something that I would enjoy. But no, she didn't pack a dock.
Yep.
So.
That sounds exactly right.
Yeah. So, I we talked about it last show about how age differences matter. And I'm really starting to believe they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yep. 100% for sure. It's crazy. So. Yeah. All that said, should we dive into to some news?
Yes, let's do that.
And no shocker here. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on this. But we're going to start with Half-Life because that was the big kind of news that we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for 15 years at this point. It's been 15 years, a decade and a half since Half-Life 2 came out. And so we finally get new Half-Life. Finally new Half-Life. And it's a VR Half-Life. Which I don't hate, but I don't love either. And so, a little background here. It's Half-Life Alyx. It's a prequel to Half-Life 2. But it is, and this is the big news, a virtual reality game, a fully virtual VR experience. It says it's a full game. That's something I would like to discuss. I don't know what that means, but I want some context around that. But that's it. That's what we have for Half-Life now. And so, you are the biggest Half-Life fan I know. I like Half-Life, but you are on another level than I am with Half-Life for sure. And so I would love to hear your initial thoughts about this.
Couple of things. I don't think this could possibly be true. Like, the VR aspect of it, I totally get. But the idea that they're going to release this and it's a VR-only game, I don't see that at all. And if they do that, I think it'll be absolute suicide. Because, like somebody on the Facebook page said, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know, might have been Die Hard that said it, said, they can't really do this because how many people have a VR system that is capable of running this? As I sit in my house, I have three. and that tells me how blessed we are. But I can't really reasonably use any of those three. So as much as I want to play Half-Life in VR, I can't see them selling it that way as an exclusive. I think of it more as a Fallout type of situation where here's Fallout and then here's Fallout VR, and it's this cool thing you can add, And so I'm wondering if for the first time in the history of Valve, if they're making a huge mistake. Because I don't read the somebody else brought up a good point. I think it was Sam that brought it up. In that they may be using this to test the waters to see if they can do Half-Life 3 in VR. And if they are, that's great. But if somebody like me can't, like, how many people are you going to lock out of this because you have to, A, have a VR headset, and B, be competent with it? Yeah. Which I have one, but I definitely don't have B.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. And the other thing is, if you do this, it can't suck. Like, it has to be good.
Yeah.
Because you can't have this suck, and then 6 months later come out and say, okay, yeah, we're doing Half-Life 3 now. Yeah. This has to be good.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that part of it. And that's the one part of it I'm least worried about. I think it'll probably be good for a couple of reasons. Because honestly, one, the bar for VR isn't super high. Like, there's some good quality games on VR. We've played some really fun stuff on VR. But there's not a whole bunch of must-have software on VR. Note that most people don't have VR, you know, like there's not the software still to justify most people going and picking it up. This could be for a lot of people something that gets them into that world. And so I understand Valve, who has VR hardware to hawk, wants to leverage that. So I get it from that standpoint. But I think it will probably be fun. Just watching the trailer of it, it looks well put together. Like, all the interactions, like, it's Valve, and so some of that, you know, I anticipate is going to be Valve-like, but they have it feels like, in a way that's probably going to be pretty intuitive, pretty easy to pick up, all that kind of stuff. But going to the bigger point, it's obviously not the future of Half-Life, right? Because it's such a small audience. So few people have VR. And so, yeah, they're gonna talk this up, I would imagine, for the next, you know, 4 months, whatever, five. I think it comes out in March. But I have to believe that it's just the like, teaser for Half-Life 3. That, like, Half-Life 3 feels, like, imminent and around the corner now. Like, we're going to see Half-Life 3 announced in the next 6 months, you know, maybe year. I just can't imagine. Like, this has to be the lead up to Half-Life 3, because otherwise I just, like, it's great. As a person who enjoys VR, can I be really honest with you, though? I don't know that I really want to play it, because it's pretty creepy. Like, I don't enjoy that VR experience. Like, I don't enjoy jump scares in VR. And there's plenty of, you know, it's not, Half-Life isn't a horror game, but it's a game that's got, you know, head crabs popping out at you or whatever.
Okay, so here's the thing. And you said it exactly right. I don't want to play Half-Life in VR because I don't want a head crab coming at me. If you want to break a VR headset,
right,
a head crab jumping at my head, because that's what they do,
yeah,
is going to make me throw the headset off my face.
Absolutely. And that's obviously what they want to do. Like, it's the first thing that happens in the trailer. Like, you're, like, peeking around a little, like, shelf or whatever. You turn around, and here comes a head crab at you. Like, that's the whole experience, right? Like, there's nothing else that you expect from Half-Life and VR other than a headcrab lunging at you suddenly. I get why that's fun for people. It's not that fun for me. Like, that's not what I enjoy. And so, yeah, I want to play it. It looks really cool. Again, just how the interaction with the environment is put together. But what hardware is required? So what controllers are required to do it? This isn't something I'm sure it's out there. I haven't looked deeply about this, but just watching the trailer, like there's a lot of like finger tracking, which isn't something we can do with our Vives at this point. You know, like we need the next gen of controllers in order to do
and
that.
And the Oculus doesn't do it either because I have one of those in my house.
Yeah, and so if you have VR hardware, there's a good chance that you're going to have to upgrade some stuff to get the most out of this. And so it's very niche. That's like Half-Life is fascinating to me because Half-Life in and of itself is pretty niche, like relative to the game industry as a whole.
Right.
But it's massively well known within the game industry, even though in and of itself, if it weren't established the way it is, it wouldn't be, you know, obviously this is a counterintuitive point. I realize what I'm making here, but it's a big deal because it's so well established as this franchise, not because it in and of itself is this broad appeal type of game. And so taking that massive franchise that in and of itself isn't necessarily broad appeal and making it not broad appeal and very, very limited in who's has access to it, it seems weird. I get it. Again, I get it because Valve is doing VR hardware. Valve has been at the cutting edge of VR hardware even before they had their own hardware. But now they have their own hardware, and so it's even more important for them. And so I get it from that point. Portal in VR is a blast. Portal in VR was super cool. Give me more Portal in VR as well.
See, I have
but for
not
crying
seen
out loud,
that.
Give me Portal 3 and Half-Life 3 too. That's flat out mouse and keyboard games because I want both of those more than I want either one of those in VR.
See, I'll freely admit I have not seen Portal in VR, so that to me sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds great, and it's one of those times, and I posted this on the Facebook page, it's one of those times that I hate that I don't have motor skills. And I hate that we don't have gloves because I think everything that happened in the trailer, if I had a glove on my hand, I think I could reasonably pull that off.
Yeah.
It's about pushing the buttons and doing all of that. If I have a glove on my hand, I don't have to deal with any of that, then I think I could do that. But it's about holding the controller and pushing the buttons and doing all that. So, this brings up the next question. You just mentioned that the thing's extremely niche. There's not a lot of people that have VR. Like Samuel on the Facebook page is going, ask me a question. Can I get a VR system for $100,000? And you and I have them, and that's real hard to do.
Yeah.
And that's not what he wanted to hear. You can do it, I guess, but not well.
Yeah, and watching, again, I keep going back to this, but watching the trailer for it, like, it is a very pretty VR game. Like, there's plenty of VR you can get that's out there that's not going to tax your system as much. This is going to be a taxing game. Like, VR is already heavy processing, obviously, but this is going to be on the top end of that, at least it appears. So even, again, if you have VR, you might not be able to play it. It's you're going to have top-of-the-line VR in order to make this happen. And that's a handful of people, you know? Like, it's
right.
Thousands, not tens of thousands or hundreds. I don't know what the exact numbers are here. But it really feels like it's a small, small number of people. Now, to be fair, a really large amount of those people are going to be into this. And so it'll be successful in that community, but it's still a small community. And again, why? I just have to believe it's just, you know, laying groundwork. That it's this experience, which is a term that they're obviously not wanting to use, that's often used about VR. They want this to be a, quote, full game. But give me a good Half-Life experience in VR. I love VR experiences. I think that's what VR does really well. Give me a good Half-Life experience that's kind of a little teaser for Half-Life 3, and I think it's awesome. But when you're, like, selling me, like, I don't want to play 15 hours of Half-Life in VR. Like, I'm not going to do it. I like VR. I think VR is a lot of fun. But I can't do it for extended amounts of time for lots of reasons. Mostly the eye strain is just terrible on me. Right. You know, like I just get a headache. I don't feel good after it. Like I don't want to do it for extended periods of time. And so I need a game that's conducive to that. And I fear that they're not making a game that's conducive to that.
And one thing I got to say, Spider mentioned the fact that it doesn't bother him that way. And it may be the fact that he's wearing glasses. You're wearing glasses.
Yeah.
And it tears both of us up. Yeah. Like, after a half hour, like, I'm done for the rest of the day. I don't want to look at anything for the rest of the day.
Like, drives my eyes out. I have this, I think we've talked about it before on the show, but I have, like, this, what I call VR eyes mode. Like, when you put the headset on, like, for the first, like, 10 or 15 minutes, your, like, eyes are kind of getting adjusted. But then I can feel this moment where, like, my eyes end up being open just a lot wider than they are in everyday life. And, like, it feels weird, you know, like it's what makes VR work for me. Like it looks really good in the headset. Like it's when I kind of get locked in or whatever, which is a weird thing in and of itself. But because like my eyes are so like wide open, like it just sucks the moisture right out of them, you know? And so, yeah, after like, not a terribly long amount of time, it's like, that was really fun. I'm glad I had that experience. I'm ready to move on with something else, you know? And to me, the best VR games and experiences that I've had are ones that lean into that part of VR, not try to push you beyond that part of VR.
And for those of you that are listening to this show, I very rarely ask you for a very, very, very specific favor. Normally it's broad and it's give us your money, which I'll do that before the end of the show. But today I have a very specific favor. If you are on Twitter, I want you to take what I'm about to say and share it on Twitter and somebody get this to Valve. I'm happy that this is happening. I'm happy that we've got new Half-Life. I'm happy it's in VR. But guys, please, as a guy that has no motor skills and is not going to be able to play this thing adequately, please give us a co-pilot mode. We have two VR headsets, and I will buy a third if I have to. I gotta have a co-pilot mode. Tommy can play it, but I have to see this.
Yeah.
So, Gabe, Doug, the rest of the guys at Valve, if you are listening to this, please give us a co-pilot mode because this is literally going to kill me. Like, if you don't hear it in my voice, my head will explode to know that there's new Half-Life out there and I can't play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if you let me do the co-pilot thing, I'm fine. I just want to see it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I want to see that in VR in general also. And again, to reiterate the point of just looking around a little bit and seeing this point over and over, according to Valve, at this point, they don't have plans for a non-VR version of this. I even saw in one interview where some of the developers on it were saying, we would love to bring it to mouse and keyboard, but we designed it for VR, and it just doesn't work. Like, it just doesn't make sense, not in VR. And so, you know, like, that's how you got to experience it. Again, for the massive Half-Life fan base that's out there, it's a very, very small number of them that are going to get to do this. Now, Valve will sell headsets off this. I guarantee it. People will buy headsets to have a Half-Life, but not as many people who want to play this game that are just not going to get a chance to. It's going to be a very elite crew, though, if you get to play it, you know? Like, you get to be a part of, like, this weird little online cult of people that are Half-Life enthusiasts and have VR headsets capable of playing it. So, hey, there's that to look forward to, I suppose. So. Anyway, before we move on, we mentioned it in there. We do need to say thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh Spider, Spencer, Hector Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. Thank you guys, as always, for your support. We do, as we've already talked about, we have more content coming. We're excited about that this week. If you want to support us and help us out with some stuff, you can do that. Go by gaminguncensored.com. Click on that Become a Patron link over on the right-hand side of the page, and we will thank you as well on the show and give you sporadic content from time to time.
Yes. and let's be honest. You and I don't talk about it much. We talk about it when it happens, but you and I are very, very quickly coming to the point that we are very slowly going insane. And if we don't do more of this show and very soon, one of us is probably going to get committed.
Yeah, it's fair.
So for those of you guys that are paying for Patreon and you're like, these guys don't care. They're scooters over there just taking my money. No, I'm literally trying not to get myself committed at this point because we haven't done enough of this show.
Yeah.
So... I'm right there with you. We're trying to get to the point where it's more viable to be on the air a lot more because it's kind of scary how much it has to do. I'm not going to speak for you, but it's kind of scary how much it has to do with my personal sanity.
Yep.
So there's that.
Yep. No doubt. 100% agree with you there. So, moving on, a couple other things to talk about today. Google Stadia is officially here. And I mentioned this because I kind of forgot about this till I got a message. I did pre-order it. so thank you, Patreon guys, for the Google Stadia pre-order. And so it showed up at my house this week, which I was not necessarily expecting. And so it's here, and I've got some very, very brief hands-on with it. I've not got to play it a lot just with sick children and all that kind of stuff, but did make sure to get at least a little bit of time on it before the show today. And it's workable. It's so far, it's way less stable than playing Project Stream was. You all heard me on and on and on about Project Stream of how impressed I was with the technology there. Stadia so far, because it works in a different way. I haven't tried it via like a Chrome browser, which is what Project Stream was, and you can play Stadia that way as well. I haven't tried that yet. I haven't tried it on a tablet or my phone or anything like that. The only way I've played it so far is with the Chromecast that it comes with in the box. And so when you buy Stadia, you get a Chromecast as well. And so I set that up. It's right now Wi-Fi only, and that's a big right now it's just running Wi-Fi. There is an Ethernet on the power adapter for the Chromecast. I just haven't plugged it in. I was pleasantly surprised by that, though, because I didn't realize it did have a wired capability to it. So it does. I just haven't played it wired yet. I've only played it wirelessly because that's honestly what I wanted to see how it performed was how it performed wirelessly. And again, it's pretty good until it's not. so what my experience has been, so I fired up Destiny. I played a little bit, so you get, there's two free games with the Stadia Pro right now. It's Destiny 2, which is obviously a big deal, and then this samurai fighting game that I'm sure somebody knows something about, but I have no clue what it is. I fired it up, and it's a fighting game, and I suck at it, and I can't tell if I suck at it because I just suck at fighting games, which is absolutely true, or if I suck at it in part also because it's laggy. Which could be true, I just don't know. But Destiny, I can know. Like, I play shooters, I know what a shooter should feel like. And so when it's working in Destiny, it actually feels really good. Like, I played tons of Assassin's Creed in it when it was Project Stream. But, like, a shooter is different. And I was ready to, like, say, oh, man, this is laggy, unplayable. And it really isn't like the shooting, but like felt really good to me. I was able to get through the first section of Destiny mostly. And I'll get to where mostly comes in here in just a second. But the shooting mechanics and everything, like it worked. It was fluid. It was responsive. It felt good. And the screen, the graphics looked good and everything streamed fine. And again, this is all over Wi-Fi. And so I'm pretty happy with that until, and this happened to me at least 10 times playing through the first 20 minutes of Destiny or whatever to get to the first little like pickup spot. The connection with the controller would like drop out momentarily. And so what would happen is whatever direction that I'm pressing on the sticks, it just continues to go in that direction. And so all of a sudden, like I'm strafing and then my guy just keeps on going, right? Like he's just going left, going left, going left. I'm like trying to get him to go back around the other way. I'm trying to jack the joysticks around to make them go somewhere else. And just for 2 or 3 seconds, like it's just completely unresponsive. And so my dude's just like running randomly like an idiot across the screen getting shot at by aliens. To the point that I got to the very end where you're supposed to like board the ship to get out of there, but there's a little fight with an alien ambush right there before you take off, and it happened there and didn't recover like ever. Like I shut the game down at that point because it happened and like I ran around in a circle until they killed me, and then I couldn't even respawn because the controller was unresponsive, and so that obviously is a huge issue, is a deal breaker. I don't know if that's just a connectivity issue with the controller, which in and of itself is a massive issue because it's their controller they sent me in the box, or if it's a connectivity issue with the servers or where the drop off is. But somewhere there's a drop off, and that drop off is hugely significant and a big issue for playing games on this service at this point.
Two things on that. First, I love the fact that you use the phrase jack the joysticks because I want to ask you, does that remind you of something from our childhood? Does that remind you of a semi-live action TV show?
Yes. That's what I was wondering if that's where you were going. I was like, that's pretty obscure, but yeah.
Yeah. What was the name of that show?
Yeah, You Don't Know Jack, was that?
No. I'm talking about the one with the kid with the NES Advantage that, like, he played and sucked him into the game. And that's Blaster. What is the name of that?
I don't remember. Yeah.
But that's where, when you said that, I initially keyed off of that because I'm like, I remember that because there's a dude and he was always jacking the joystick. Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic. Secondly, I think that this is where we are in the state of games right now. I don't think this is a Stadia issue. I think it's game-wide because I know a lot of people that are playing Call of Duty right now. And Call of Duty is just not working on some people's systems, right? And so they're waiting on this massive patch rollout to fix these problems. And we've gotten to the point where game companies go, oh, well, it sort of doesn't work, but that's okay. We'll just patch it. It'll be all right. And that kind of bothers me a little bit because, to be honest with you, when you were talking about Project Stream, this is what I expected. Like, when they came out with this idea, I'm like, yeah, I know how that's going to work because I know how the internet works. And then I went to your house and I saw you play it, and I'm like, man, that's really cool. And it makes them look really bad to have that happen, to have that situation where it was really fluid with one game to launch, and then have this.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge problem. And it's not something that I feel like you can say as Google, it's all right, just give us 6 months, we'll patch it.
Right.
No! No!
Yeah.
Because, wait, let's be honest. If you had not bought this with Patreon money, you would not have bought this because it's a lot of money.
Yes.
And for us to have paid the money that we paid and for this to be happening is not acceptable. And we're not necessarily pissed because, again, we didn't pay for it and we run a gaming show. It's part of the job. But for somebody who pays for this, who out of their own pockets, and they've just worked a job to make that money, and they get it in their house, and it doesn't work, I could see how they'd be really pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to say I know this, but I would hope that anybody going into Stadia knew that was a possibility. Of course, I think anybody that's buying in as an early adopter to this knows the risks of this technology. And so going in, I don't think anybody's probably hugely surprised by it. But yeah, if it's a constant thing, I haven't put a ton of time into it. I need to play around with it some more to see if this continues to be an issue. I need to hardwire it, you know. But I mean, for some people, hardwiring's not really an option. You don't buy it. If the selling point is like you can take this with you, it's games on any device, anywhere you are, as long as you're next to it, an Ethernet connection, you know, like at that point, it kind of defeats the purpose of the whole thing. And so it needs to work well on non-fiber internet. I have fiber internet. It needs to work well when it's not hardwired. It needs to work well, you know, streaming to a device that's maybe on LTE or whatever. Like, and if it's not going to do those things well, if it only works well when all the ideal conditions are met, you've still got a long ways to go of making this the future. It is the future. Like, let's be clear on that. Like, we've talked about this a ton before.
Yeah.
Microsoft's got theirs coming too. We've seen some of the kind of early impressions there. Like, this is where we're going. It's going to take a while to perfect that. But let's not pretend it's anything other than the future. It's got to get better. It's better than it was. We were talking about, oh my goodness, what was that service called?
On Live.
Yes, On Live back in the day. We played with that years and years ago. And we said then, this is the future. But there's a whole lot that has to be rectified. It's gotten significantly better. Like I said, when it was working, it was fantastic. It's not like the whole thing was unplayable. Like, whenever it was, like, the fact that I was streaming a triple A title, big budget, fantastic game. Like, Destiny 2 is a perfectly great title. Like, it's a standalone awesome game. And I was streaming it from a server from who knows where to my screen in front of me holding a controller that's communicating. Like, when you put it out there like that, it's pretty remarkable that it was working at all and was working really, really well until the controller jacked up. But as soon as the controller jacks up, it's now like, oh, this isn't a game I'm playing locally. This is a game that's being streamed from a server somewhere, and now it sucks. You know, like it very much takes you out of the moment. If they can keep from taking me out of the moment, they've got something amazing here. And Stadia is ultimately probably not the way that I'm going to stream games, but there is going to be a way that I stream games, and somebody's going to win that battle. And so there's going to be competition there. I'm fascinated to see where it goes.
One thing on that is we've said this is where it's going, but if this is not corrected and it's not corrected quickly, issues like this could set back the inevitability of this happening for 2, 3, 4, 5 more years. Because let's face it, if On Live had been good, we'd probably already be here.
Right. Yes.
And so what I'm about to say is that Google doesn't have a whole lot of time for this thing to suck. Like, if this is where we're going and they want it to happen sooner than later, they got to fix it, and they got to fix it right now. Because if they make it into 2020 and this thing still ain't working, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a problem.
Absolutely, 100%. We'll keep playing with it, and I'm excited to see what happens with it. We'll keep talking about it, but it's far from perfect yet. But the again, when it works, it's pretty great. So, we'll try to wrap up here. We're already coming upon the end of the show. Go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com. See stuff that we're not going to get to. I'll mention a few things really quickly here. Outer Worlds is coming to Switch early next year. That's fantastic. It's a fantastic game. Path of Exile 2 is coming next year.
Yes!
Or early 2021. Logitech has, this I love, Logitech has unveiled a bunch of buttons for the adaptive controller. Did you get 12 like switches and buttons for $100, which is a crazy good price compared to what other buttons cost out there. They're just so expensive. And so that's super cool to make that a little bit more approachable from a cost standpoint, because right now the cost of setting up the adaptive controller is insane. And so,
and by the way, since we're talking about that, mine is moving along, and I love Ken at Warfighter Engage, because he sends me a text and he's like, dude, I'm working on it, I swear. don't hate me. I've got all this stuff going on and it's not moving as fast as I want. And I'm like, dude, I haven't played a console game in 20 years. You're fine. Right. but he is sending me pictures. It is moving along. And I hate to tell you this, dude, because I don't know where we're going to find the time. But the time where we need to take 2 weeks off and do nothing but play video games is coming very, very soon.
Yeah, that's
I don't know when that's going to happen, but it is becoming inevitable, because when I get that, like, it's going to be fun for us to play games together, but where you're going to get the best content from us is in the same room as we play.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. I'll also mention just really quickly on the releases. The big one since last we've done a show is Jedi Fallen Order, which is actually apparently a really, really fun game, which is a wonderful thing to hear that it actually delivers a good Star Wars experience in game mode. So excited to play that. Has an 82 currently on Metacritic, which leads nicely into this now brief discussion of the Game Award nominees. And so Game Awards coming up. The award or the nominees for Game of the Year, I'll just go through these really quick, are Control, Death Stranding, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Resident Evil 2 Remake, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, and The Outer Worlds, which are, by all measures, all really solid titles. But seemingly, by all measures, with a few exceptions here, like that kind of mid-80s Metacritic score type of games, too. And so I'm curious. I'll look up a couple of them that I'm not sure of off the top of my head. Sekiro is right around a 90, and so that one's maybe a little higher. And again, the Metacritic score doesn't mean it's going to be Game of the Year. But I think it's an interesting point to bring up. I believe Super Smash Brothers is a 93, and so it's up there as well. But Super Smash Brothers also feels... I don't know. It's like a different thing, right? Like, of those games that are nominated, they're for the most part these kind of deep narrative-driven games, and then there's Super Smash Brothers, which is a fighting game, a darn good one, but just feels a little bit out of place in that list. Maybe the favorite to win. I really don't know. Like, that's just is an interesting lineup of games as Game of the Year this year. Like, they all are really solid titles. Yeah, I don't think any of them would win last year or the year before. You know, like, it's been a bit of a strange year this year in gaming.
And I don't know if I have a favorite there.
Yeah.
I think the favorite there depends on the hardware that you own.
Sure.
Because I've heard from multiple people that if you have a 2080 and you got the RTX turned on, it's Control and it ain't close. But you got to have that 2080.
Yeah.
And I know Control looks good, and it's good story-wise without that. But what shocked us, what shocked me, I'm not going to speak for you, was we thought that first game was going to be Cyberpunk. And it turns out that a reason to buy RTX at this point is Control. So this year, as opposed to other years, I think it's going to vary widely on what you've got.
Yeah.
As to whether you agree or not.
Yeah. I think there's definitely some truth to that. If I had to put money on it, I'd probably put money on Super Smash Brothers as being maybe the most broad appeal of this. It just feels like it's the same people that are probably into Control, that are into Death Stranding, that are into Resident Evil 2, that are in maybe Sekiro, maybe the Outer Worlds. Like, those are maybe a little bit different, but they're all kind of like in the same lane of games, and then Super Smash Brothers in a very, very different lane of games.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm right there with you. If you take Super Smash Brothers out, I have no clue. I feel like giving it to Resident Evil 2 is kind of lame. Even though
you can't do that.
Yeah, it's
a remake. I love that game.
Yeah, fantastic.
But you can't do that.
Yeah. The best game direction award is those exact titles sans Super Smash Brothers, and so it's Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, and Outer Worlds, and so those are the games obviously that are a big deal. Best narrative is Control, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, here The Outer Worlds, and then A Plague Tale showing up there, which is cool. Best art direction, now we get Link's Awakening as part of that. Still get Sekiro, still get Death Stranding, still get Control. Get Gris, I think is how you pronounce it, and Sayonara Wild Hearts, which I don't know anything about. Music is Cadence of Hyrule. I hope that wins it. Death Stranding again, Devil May Cry 5, Kingdom Hearts 3. Let me see any other interesting ones here. Norman Reedus, of course, is nominated for Best Performance for Death Stranding. Of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those, 4 of those are either from Control or Death Stranding. So you can see the games that are kind of dominating the category this year, and it's just not the games I would anticipate. You know, like, it's just for whatever reason.
Can I say this? I'm glad that we're not talking about Call of Duty in there.
Me too.
I really am, because from what I've seen of it, it's a really good game.
Yeah.
And probably deserves that, but again, it's a remake. So
yeah, it shows up for the first time on Best Action Game: Apex Legend, Astral Chain, Devil May Cry, Gears 5, and Metro Exodus. By the way, Gears 5, not on a whole bunch of these things, for good or for bad. Zelda's Link Awakening is Best Action Adventure Game, with Resident Evil 2, Death Stranding, Control, Sekiro, and Borderlands 3, another game popping up in there that we haven't talked about much yet. But yeah, it's just... Like, it's an interesting overview of the year in games. It's been a really solid year in games without being like that one super standout title or two super standout titles. You know, I think of Red Dead or Breath of the Wild, or, you know, like, there's not one of those this year, it doesn't feel like. There's not a game that, like, 10 years from now we're going to be talking about as still one of the best games of all time, you know?
No.
Those are all really, really good games. And so it's been a solid year without a huge standout game.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
I can't state this enough. I feel bad because between the two of us, we played like two of those.
Yeah.
And so we really need to sit down for like 2 or 3 weeks and just go through a backlog. we're talking about this on what could basically be called a down year in gaming. So I'm feeling pretty good about where things are.
Yeah.
And feeling pretty good about the year that's coming, because we got a big year coming.
Yeah, just, you know, right off the top of my head, the two games that could be those kind of 10-year down the road games are Cyberpunk and The Last of Us 2 that are theoretically months away at this point. As if both of them stay on track, we're going to have those within the next 6 months, and that's pretty crazy. And then add Final Fantasy VII Remake to that. Add what could be good in Watch Dogs. That's that franchise that always is like so close and yet doesn't quite deliver it. They're probably going to do that for us again, but we'll still be interesting. It's 2020 is going to be a massive year. I think 2019 has been a good kind of prep for that. I don't want to say it's been an underwhelming year, because I don't think it has. I think we've got some great, great software. And the fact that the Star Wars game isn't even considered in that, just because it just came out, like just missed, I'm assuming, just missed the cutoff for any of those considerations, is also significant. So, yeah, it's a fascinating year for games.
It is, absolutely. And I say it every time we get on the mic, but I feel blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish we played more of them. That would be a nice thing. So, anyway, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, see what we missed.
Go by the Twitter, check out the Facebook. Lots of discussion going on over there, because people have realized I pay attention to that. And so there's always some sort of debate going on over there. Definitely check that out. Go by the Patreon page, because there is content there. It's not good, but it's there. Did you notice what I put on our YouTube channel?
Nah.
As the what I currently have on our YouTube channel, the description is Jamie and Tommy play games. Not well, but we play them. Yes.
That is apt. So,
yeah, so that's our description on the YouTube channel right now. There will be more of that, more from Outer Worlds if you guys want it. If you don't, wow, this cripple's really boring, let me know and I'll do something else. but that's there, so check that out. Check out the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
I can tell you for a fact, we need segments, we need segments, we need segments. And we will definitely play them at some point, because we love you people. So send us a voicemail, record something and email it. Whatever you need to do, just get it to us and we will play it eventually.
Yes.
Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, we're Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.